Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There's one major problem with a mostly positive review I have of one SEC team's position group. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Thursday. How have y'all been the past 3 days? I was out. I'm back now. I only have two measuring sticks. Dan, you were the host, right?
Correct.
Did we lose any affiliates?
No, I don't believe we did.
Any FCC fines?
I think we're good.
Okay, yeah. Affiliates and fines. Otherwise, I'm good. I've told you the story. My first year of coaching, about a month into the season, I went in to see the principal. It was high school. And notice old Alabama. Said, I don't think I'm doing a good job. He's like, well, Coach Oliver, why? I was like, well, we're not winning. We're not winning as much as we should. And I don't think I'm doing a good job. He asked me two questions. He said, are you providing good instruction? And I knew I was like, yeah, I can tell him how to line up and what to do and hand placement, whatever else, you know, whatever. I was like, yeah. He's like, are you using swear words? I said, no. He's like, you're doing a great job. Like, literally, the principal, the guy who was in charge of hiring and firing, he said, if you're giving them quality instruction and you're not swearing at them, he said, some of it's on the kids, coach. And I was like, okay. So I have two measuring sticks. Did we lose affiliates? Did we get fined? Some of it's on Dan. All right. So good job the past 3 days, but I am back. I said, there's one major problem with an almost 100% positive review I have of one SEC team's position group. And it was one that was in flux with the news coming out. What is today? Thursday, I guess Tuesday afternoon is when this happened. And then, you know, the news really hit. And then yesterday there was a lot of conversation. I was asked by someone who does like season previews for a website, what do you think about this Pickens injury? I'm sure you have seen it by now, but George Pickens, who is probably as physically skilled as any receiver that you're going to find, I think, in the SEC this year. George Pickens, who had a year where there were a couple of games where he was really engaged. Otherwise, it was just kind of a season for him. He had a better season as a true freshman in 2019 where, now, he exploded at the end. It was the Sugar Bowl against Baylor. And there were some other games as well. But it's not like George Pickens, you know, stepped off the bus in weeks 1 through 12. He was putting up 8 grabs and, like, he was Devonta Smith. By the way, he's nowhere near Devonta Smith. He's 6'3 and 200 and something pounds. And he's still growing. He's still growing. He just finished his sophomore season. It's March of his sophomore year of college. Think about what your chest looked like as a sophomore in college. A little different than it does as a grown man. Well, especially if you're in a college weight program, for gosh sakes. All right? You had that kind of concave in the middle, and the shoulders kind of went down, and then you started working out or growing into being. Well, George Pickens is doing all that with a strength and conditioning coach. And the best of the best of the best and everything else. And so he's 6'3", 200. I bet he's 210. And he's still growing. And just a tremendously skilled player who, as a true freshman when he was 18, it took him a minute, and then he was about as good as advertised. He was a 5-star, committed to Auburn forever, and then either the day before or day of signing, flips to Georgia. As a sophomore, and I don't hold anybody's feet to any sort of fire, But we know what happened last year. It just was fits and starts, and Kyaris Jackson sort of emerged. Well, he's injured now, and it's an ACL. Dan, what's the prognosis? I mean, is it he's not even had the surgery yet, so.
No surgery yet as of right now, pre-operation rehabilitation. Yeah. No other structural damage to the knee. So that's good news.
It is. And so I will say it's only March 25th, but I would be very surprised. I mean, not everybody's Adrian Peterson, okay? In fact, nobody's Adrian Peterson except Adrian Peterson. Hi, I hurt my knee 15 minutes ago. Well, you just passed 2,000 yards, and you got within like 7 of breaking the all-time record. So I was asked, what does this do to the position group? Well, my mostly positive review was if no one else gets injured, this doesn't have to affect you in the regular season. But, man, there's a lot of mystery in that. It's just such a – and it's a basic, very brief statement. I said if nobody else gets injured, this doesn't have to affect George in the regular season. And if no other wide receiver gets hurt, then losing Pickens doesn't have to affect the team. Not greatly, not in their 12 regular season games. Problem is, beating Missouri isn't really what having a guy like George Pickens is about. And the biggest issue, the major problem, is there's no guarantee no more receivers will get injured. He was injured non-contact. So I can't guarantee. I said, if nobody else gets injured, it doesn't have to affect you. You will not have anybody on the outside going, send it like it's an alley-oop. Like, there was a bobbled dribble in the backcourt, and he broke. Send it. Open. He's a stud, all right? He's the what-are-you-going-to-do-about-it guy that even, like, a great opponent's best corner, there will be some plays where the opponent's best corner and a guy who's a future first-round draft pick, and he says, what am I going to do about it on that play? Nothing. He's the guy you throw to against Bama or Ohio. Yes, against Missouri and whoever else. But he's the guy you throw to against Bama or Ohio State or Clemson. And I ain't talking in the opener. I'm talking in January. And not even on like, that's 3rd and 9. Who you going to? No, I'm saying 4th and 9. Where the opponent and everybody in the stands and dude calling the game and Chuck on his couch and you wherever you are, everybody says, hey, they're about to throw it to George Pickens because it ain't 3rd and 9, it's 4th and 9. I don't know that there's another of those on this roster. So you've got 12 games to figure that out or get Pickens back to what he's supposed to be. Shouldn't be an issue to beat Kentucky without Pickens. I don't know, maybe even Florida. You need him to win the games that change the program, and there's no one else, at least not yet. So as long as nobody else gets hurt, it shouldn't affect you in the regular season, but the regular season isn't really what Georgia's about right now.
Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hi, I'm Mark Beckham with Atlanta Ramjack. We specialize in only foundation repair. What is foundation repair? Foundations sink or settle. These issues need to be addressed. It only becomes more costly the longer you put it off. What is the biggest cause of foundation problem? Either poor construction, inferior site preparation, or weather. Drought causes cracks in your foundations. If you see any signs of foundation issues, please contact us at AtlantaRamjack.com.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcasts. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show. It's time for The Game Plan with College Football Hall of Famer Joe Hamilton.
Touchdown, Georgia Tech! a fade better than Joe Hamilton.
Presented by Low T Nation. Get your game plan ready for optimized health at lowtnation.com.
My man, College Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion. He don't even want to care about that. He just wants to talk about today's game and what's going on. It is Joe Hamilton. We talk to him every single Thursday right at the outset of the show, including today. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing outstanding, Chuck.
All right,
happy Thursday.
Same to you. We got a quarterback in our environs in the South that is going to have some adjustment. George Pickens, we got the news. I don't know how long he's going to be out. He'll have the best of the best when it comes to attention, medical care, et cetera. JT Daniels, though, got himself a spring practice to maybe get on another page with somebody else as that third and nine, fourth and nine receiver. Just talk about the general challenge for JT Daniels and everybody else.
Well, start off with JT Daniels. I love how he ended last season with his rapport with the George Pickens. The 50-50 balls, when you're covered, you're really not covered. Why? Because I trust you that this is not going to be a pick. When that middle linebacker or that defensive end is rushing down my, you know, my throat or really, really close to knocking my head off, when I deliver this ball, I know you're going to come up with that catch on third and eight like you alluded to, but that's developed. And I couldn't wait to see the development of those guys having a spring ball, because that's the guy when you say, I'm going to work out at 6:30 this afternoon. Who's all coming with me? George Pickens is going to be there. And that's how you judge chemistry. Now, going forward, he does have time, JT Daniels, to get chemistry with, you know, whoever, Jermaine Burton. I don't know about Rosemary Jack Saint,
yeah.
Or Kyaris Jackson, whomever. But I want to remind guys, you can get all the chemistry with the competitiveness that's going to go on between the DBs and wide receiver with Coach Kirby Smart, because we know how he recruits. But it's not like game day. You can only get that real chemistry doing it against another opponent. Yes, you can get 50-50 balls in practice. Yes, you can be competitive. But that real trust becomes on third and nine when the bullets are flying. In the red zone when I can trust you in a back shoulder fade. That's the real trust. And look for that to come. You have time, but you can't really solidify that if we are there yet until you see it in the game.
High school, college, pro, I mean, and you've been on both sides of the whistle, player and coach. So I want you to confirm, I believe, something that I want folks to know. This is another example of, after the initial information and the surgery and all that, you're not going to hear a lot of Georgia coaches, or Kirby, because he's the one that talks, talking about George Pickens. And it doesn't matter if it's Pickens or whoever. I mean, there is something a coach told me a long time ago. He's like, we got too much to do. I can't worry about who's not here. It's not them being disrespectful or not appreciative or whatever. You just got too much to do. You can't talk 10 minutes a day about who's not available. And so that's just what it is for all coaches and all players.
Yeah, you're going to address that one time. Maybe Coach Kirby Smart addressed it the morning of or afternoon of that he heard about George Pickens. He told the team his game plan of moving forward. And that's where you go from there. But I would like to bring something up. What does George Pickens want to do? Does he want to be around the team while he rehab? Does he still want to go in the meeting room? And how focused is he when he do those things? Because maybe comes down the road where Coach Kirby Smart has to distance himself away from George Pickens in the team if he's a distraction. Meaning, if you room in with some guys that has to get up and go to class and you're just laying there, or you're taking some things for granted knowing that you're not going to win, those habits can be contagious to the guys that you came in with, yeah, in your class or you're friends with, and they kind of, you know, lose the focus that should be there because they're preparing for a season, whereas you're not preparing as focusedly as going into a season.
Yeah, and it sounds like rec league sort of stuff, but if you're there for mental reps, I can't have you screwing around.
Yeah,
and
exactly,
if you're there for a mental rep, get your mental rep.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Even with the weight room, are you going to still, you know, lift at a certain group with the wide receivers? You know, study hall. You know, those little things, we don't need you to be a distraction. Not to say George Pickens will, but, you know, somebody or some guys, you know, trying to prepare for a season is a little different from a guy that knows he's not going to play.
Which is why we'll see some announcements occasionally. And this is not always the case, but occasionally when I see an announcement like, you were hurt in summer, and then it's the end of September, middle of October, and the coach says, well, he stepped away from the team. He's going to keep his rehab. Right. Like me, he's gone home to continue his rehab.
Yes, that's it.
That means you're in the locker room, and you're like, well, I ain't got to play, so I ain't got to pay attention.
Chuck, that's exactly right. That's exactly right, because we're going to have to still hold you to the fire.
Yeah.
If you started off coming to the weight room practices, you need to be on time. We can't have you being late because you're not playing,
yeah,
because guys are looking.
All right, we were talking big picture, continuing with my buddy Joe Hamilton. We talk to him every single Thursday, courtesy of Low T Nation. And I have always looked at a quarterback's accuracy as same as like free throws. I've never seen anybody really get better shooting free throws. I know quarterbacks through experience, you get better with anticipation, reading, defense, you know, all of that stuff. Does a quarterback really get more accurate? Because I have seen some NFL quarterbacks that, I mean, you can't have more experienced, more expensive coaching. I think either you're accurate or you're not. You played it. You tell me.
In some cases, Chuck, yes, but I disagree because I have examples. And you mentioned free throws. Yes, you very seldom see people or guys get better or women get better at free throws.
But go from Shaq to Mark Price. That ain't happening. That's
not happening. But immediately you look at their footwork. Are your feet balanced? You know, your shoulders pointing towards the rim. Do you have good flick of the wrist pointing towards your target? Football is the same way. Maybe you can't develop accuracy, and some people are born with it, but immediately if I get a quarterback that says, I need you to work on his accuracy, I'm going to have film of his feet. Is he aligned right? Is that shoulder right going towards the target? And if all those things are correct, you are absolutely correct. They cannot be developed because your fundamentals are there. Maybe you just is not as accurate as another quarterback. But I take, for instance, the year before with Josh Allen. Josh Allen was not as accurate. He was not as accurate at Wyoming. But even a year from second year to the third year, what happened? Ken Dorsey. A lot of people like to say Brian Daboll. Daboll was the offensive coordinator, but Ken Dorsey's the one that worked on when you're throwing to a target, make sure your hips and everything's directed towards a target. So it's incremental. It's nothing you'll notice that's big, but it's incrementally done, and just some people are not going to get it.
I'm going to ask you a question. I bet maybe David, he's a Big Ten guy, so maybe he knows. Do you know who Mike Kafka is? Do you ever hear Mike Kafka? He played quarterback at Northwestern about a decade ago.
I think I do, but not right now.
You shouldn't have.
Okay.
He got invited to the Senior Bowl the same year that Tebow was at the Senior Bowl. And when you're talking about footwork, Kafka was a technically, like it was an instructional video. The ball never got there. I mean, like he would release the ball and I would watch it. And I was like, how can you throw in slow motion? Whatever. His technique was perfect. He was there the same year in Mobile as Tim Tebow. I watched pro coaches for 4 days try to convince Tim Tebow to get his base, like his front foot and his back foot. It's like he already had stride forward, and they're like, no, think about it like, you know, like on a tile floor. Get your feet on one tile.
Right.
And Tebow never became accurate.
He never became accurate, and that's one of those things that he's not an accurate quarterback. You know, and you try.
And you see painful mechanics like that sometimes. I mean, he was never going to be a thrower. Demaryius Thomas got him into the record books because that catch and run.
Absolutely. And that's the only thing when you're a Tebow fan and his tenure in the NFL you can say about he won a playoff game.
Had a playoff record.
But Chuck, I would say that you are absolutely correct about accuracy, and I can only show you small examples of Josh Allen. And it's because you would want a quarterback with developing accuracy to get to you at – age 10, 11, 12, 13. When they were trying to change Tebow up, had muscle memory for
he'd
how long?
Learned it.
So it's hard to learn it that way, even if you're a professional. Some people are not built that way.
And wrapping up with Joe Hamm, and that's why, like Philip Rivers, when he shows up at NC State, Chuck Amato was like, I ain't going to change anything. It looks like he's shot putting the football. I'm like, well, it works.
Exactly, and I can imagine his dad or his instructor, whoever coached him in high school, or his trainer said, whoa, he's not missing. You know, the release is kind of funny, but when you look at his feet, they're aligned. You look at his shoulder, they're aligned, fundamentally sound. Let's not touch it. The ball is getting there on time with velocity, so that's more important, and that's what's not going to leave you when you become a quarterback that's aged 10, 12 years in the NFL. Your footwork is never going to disappoint you if you got that corrected.
You know what I rarely hear people talk about? Michael Vick led the NCAA in passing efficiency his final year at Virginia Tech. And then he got to the pros, and, hey, we're going to change all this stuff up. All right, Joe Hamm, every single Thursday. Absolutely love it, brother. So, again, courtesy of Low T Nation, make sure that you're in here every single Thursday. We kick off the show, basically, with Joe Hamilton, again, talking a little college football around the South.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
George Pickens, as skilled, as talented, as much of a game wrecker on a random Saturday, literally as any receiver in the SEC. Could be in America for all I know. But I can't promise you what Wazoo has hidden in its junior class. But as far as the SEC, yeah, he's about as talented as you can get, and he's a physical freak, and he's listed at 6'3", 200. I the second figure is not correct anymore. He is a young boy who was growing into a giant man, and for some indiscriminate amount of time, I don't know yet, his knee won't work properly. So when he comes back, then I'm assuming he – see, there's all these scenarios, you know, and they're all getting discussed right now. How long is he going to be out? Does he even want to come back? If he comes back, what will he be? I just discuss who is there. And who is there right now? You're going to beat Kentucky and Missouri. That's what should happen with who is there. The issue is Georgia's season ain't about beating Missouri and Kentucky. It's about what you do in Atlanta. It's about two playoff games, and you win both of them. That's really what it's about. A man who knows all of this and more about the Georgia program from The Athletic, about the best in the business when it comes to covering Georgia, it is Seth Emerson. Seth, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chuck.
Give us some information here about George Pickens. Is there even any idea of when he would begin physical activity, return, et cetera?
Right. So he'll have surgery probably next month sometime. And then the recovery rehab process for ACLs has improved over the years. And so you're looking at 6 to 9 months usually. Now, in 2018, Georgia fans may remember that Devod Wilson, then a freshman cornerback, tore his ACL in spring practice. He returned to play in the Sugar Bowl on January 1. So you can, as a Georgia fan, have dreams about that scenario playing out with Georgia doing what it can to get to the SEC championship game, win that game, and then here comes George Pickens joining the team for a semifinal playoff game.
Right out of a phone booth.
Wouldn't rule that scenario out too early. I mean, a lot of things have to happen for that. On the other hand, number one, rehab-wise, would George Pickens be able to do that? Number two, will he want to do that?
Ding, ding, ding.
I would think he would want to stay around Georgia for at least the major part of the rehab process. Georgia pays for the surgery. Georgia pays for the rehab. He can use their rehab facilities. Ron Corson and his staff are the best in the business at this. But does he want to do everything that entails being an eligible student athlete in the fall semester, hell, even the summer semester, or whatever you need to do over that time, in order to stay eligible to play, to have that hope of maybe playing at the end of the year if your recovery goes well? It's a different thing if this happened this time last year. Let's throw the craziness of COVID 2020 aside. But if George Pickens were, no matter what, not going to be eligible for the draft next year, then yeah, that's one thing. You know, try your best to get back for the end of Georgia's season. But everyone knows he's eligible for the draft, and there's very little expectation that he would not turn pro. So will he do that this fall, or will he just – yeah, I mean, do you want to go to classes? Do you want to do everything that you need to do, even if it's virtual classes, to stay eligible for that chance to maybe do that. I don't know.
Daniel, with Seth Emerson, and I was talking as you were coming on there that, you know, Georgia season, I am confident, you know, any given Saturday we know there's an asterisk, but I'm confident that not only could Georgia beat Missouri and Kentucky without him, they'd probably beat Florida. I who knows? But that's not what Georgia is about right now. Do you agree with this? Because I've said Georgia is in, like, the shortest list in college football, and there's, like, maybe six programs or five maybe. Georgia is not in a division or a conference anymore. Like, that opener against Clemson, you can't say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's not an SEC school. To Georgia and where their goals are, Clemson is the same as Georgia Tech, as Auburn, as Kentucky, as anybody else.
That game's the measuring stick game. You can still lose that game if you're Georgia and feel pretty good about your chances of being in the playoff, as long as you take care of business. I mean, look, that game in a lot of ways for Georgia, it almost becomes a set aside situation. I mean, you don't know how it's going to play out, but if Georgia loses that game and wins its other 11, which is going to be favored in all those games,
should be, yeah,
then it's going into the SEC championship game, win and in. But if they beat Clemson and then win those other 11 games, they might, like, be in the same scenario that Notre Dame was in going into the ACC championship game this past year. We can debate whether Notre Dame should have made the playoff, but they did. So it becomes important in that way. And I think, Chuck, Georgia with George Pickens, I've been saying, is not only the SEC East favorite, but it's the SEC favorite. And it's also a preseason number one or number two. And the only reason they wouldn't be is because it's Georgia. And people have questions about whether it's Kirby Smart's game day management or just that something Georgia will happen. Well, something Georgia did happen. It's Pickens is here. After JT Daniels, that was your most impactful loss.
Yep.
And so now we have to kind of measure what the loss is, the impact of it's going to be. And I agree with you. They're going to beat. I mean, let's not say absolutely, because I was at that Georgia-South Carolina game in 2019. It's a beautiful thing about sports. You never know. But they're probably going to be nine teams, I would say. They're going to win those games. It's Clemson, Auburn, Florida are the ones that you're like, okay, like, what does this loss mean? Does it makes Florida and Auburn a little bit tougher, but Georgia's still the favorite. It, to me, means that a game that was probably a coin flip, maybe you give Clemson a little bit of an edge now, but ask me again when we get to August.
Let's talk about a different situation, but kind of the same. There is another Georgia receiver who is still coming back, Marcus Rosemead Jack Saint, which that may be actually the first time I've said that name proper. I always want to say Saint Jack.
I think it may be Saint Jackson. Like, I was just
really?
My friend Andy. Yeah, I was just on my friend and colleague Andy Staples' podcast recording it. It'll be on later, but not during your show, Chuck, so I can promo
it. Thank you. Exactly.
But he said Marcus Rosemead Jackson, and I'm like, that might be what it is.
Okay, so when did you find out it was Quincy Mauger? Because I called him for 3 years. Like, I called him the wrong thing.
His senior year. I think it was by his senior year. He was, and I'm not surprised that he was the kid who never corrected anybody on it until the very end.
So Marcus Rosemead Jackson.
I might be totally wrong about this, and if I am, I'm blaming Andy.
Well, I'm going to blame you, so like, there's a little chain here.
Okay.
What is the idea about his return? Because it was the Florida game.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're asking me about him first, because everyone's mind mostly goes to Dominic Blaylock first. And Blaylock should be back sooner because his injury happened sooner. But arguably, Rosemead Jackson, or Jack Saint, is more important because he's in the mold of George Pickens.
Yep.
He's the other guy they have that does what George Pickens does. They don't have that. Matt Landers transferred, a decision he may now wonder about. Justin Robinson is a possibility to do that. They've got some freshmen that could.
Bush left too, didn't
that.
He?
Yes, Tommy Bush left too. And in the case of Bush and Landers, you may be saying, look, if it didn't happen for them by this point, like, asking them to step in for George Pickens was going to be too much. And I agree with that. Like, you don't want to put we all love tall receivers, don't we? Like, they look great warming up. You love the concept of it. Do you want to put out a guy who's tall but not that good versus line up three really good other receivers?
Yeah, I mean, who's number 11? I love that kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so if you got Kyaris Jackson and Jermaine Burton and Arian Smith, those three are really good.
Give me.
Yeah, you can't play them on every down, but then you can sprinkle in Dominic Blaylock when he's healthy. I'm going to be forgetting some guys, but you know, I mentioned Justin Robinson, James Cook as you know as an option. Kendall Milton, you can flex him out. Darnell Washington, John Fitzpatrick doesn't get enough credit. As a good option at tight end. I mean, they've got options, but boy, lining up George Pickens to the side and knowing that the other team had to put their best cornerback on him and or a safety and having two people worrying about him.
Beautiful thing.
That opened up so many things for everybody else.
Yep. Before I let you run, we're on in Auburn. We're throughout Alabama. Tell any Auburn fan listening what they have in Bobo.
Well, I mean, I'll go down swinging as the guy who will defend the guy. I defended him when he was here, and I think he's a good coach. It's interesting the things you're hearing about what he's planning there, where it's almost like with everybody else in college football going spread football on or basketball on grass kind of stuff that. You know, instead of doing the next thing, Bobo is going backwards, and he's talking more about doing more, under center, fullback, that kind of stuff, old school football. And so a lot of people might be rolling their eyes and saying, well, why are they doing that? Maybe Bobo is just saying it, and in reality, he is going to try and do what the Todd Munkins, Joe Brady's of the world are doing. Or maybe this is the market inefficiency, like everyone else is. It's reverse money ball, which is what you're going to see in baseball, I think, soon, which is more people be like, well, let's try and steal more bases. Let's go back and play the way Herzog had the Cardinals playing.
Slap and run.
And maybe Bobo is going to go that way. Your defenses are going to be – you're going to have faster players on defense to stop these offenses, but they're going to be smaller. Maybe – someone's going to come along and say, all right, we're going to run the ball down your throat and you're not going to be able to stop it because you've got too many small players out there. I don't know.
Let me ask you, odd, what year did you graduate high school?
1994.
Okay, so you probably are familiar with this a little bit. Maybe you just caught the tail end of it. I was watching. It was funny because I talked about this on the air about 2 years ago. I was watching a New England Patriots playoff game. And I, paused it, and then I ran it back, and I watched the play, five times. I was like, what am I seeing here? There's something. I was like, oh, I know what it is. Seth, New England came out. Bill Belichick, his big thing, he likes the unscouted look. It was split-back pro set. That is so old school that a split-back pro set, well, and you know what that is. That was an unscouted look in a playoff game. So yeah, that is going back in time. If it's fullback, under center, tight end, all of that stuff, I don't think you're overstating that at all.
No, I wonder about it. I mean, it's what, but Georgia has the ability, and so does Auburn, to if it decides to go that way to join the spread revolution. The reason Alabama has been so good, the reason LSU was so good last year, is when they joined the spread revolution, they were able to do it with the best players. So I wonder whether the market – is the market efficiency – do you do that if you're Auburn and you should recruit well too? Or does Auburn look at Alabama and LSU in its own division, increasingly Texas A&M, Georgia, who it has to play every year, and say – we can't beat them with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's actually a fascinating discussion.
No doubt about that at all. I appreciate the time, as always, Seth. It's always good stuff, brother. I thank you for coming on.
All right, take care.
All right, Seth Emerson, again, from The Athletic, and just so much going on in Athens right now. I want to talk more about James Cook and what his role will be, because I'm excited to see a spring and an off season and an August and then a week one when it's supposed to be week one. How a season unfolds with a projected 12 games with maybe a tune-up or so. Not in Georgia's case, but a tune-up or so at the top of the slate. So wildly different than it's 10 games, they're all conference, and from week one, you are in the deep fryer. okay? Because that's what last season was. Totally different. So I want to see how James Cook develops. I want to see if the tight end position is actually used more so than when you're just trying to recruit another tight end. I want to know what happens to Carson Beck. I've been told talent is not the issue. That it's a really crowded quarterback room, and he has some work ahead of him, and he's talented and can do it. But there's so many questions going on again as Georgia continues working towards their spring game. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Wrap up hour one next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Quarterback coming back after, you know, which I'm sure there'll be a lot of preseason attention on that. So, you know, just trying to do a good job and helping guys learn from experiences that, you know, gone through as coaches or been in positions where teams or players have been, you know, expected a lot of.
Lane Kiffin, I've already told you, I'm the biggest Lane Kiffin guy in this town. Big fan of his, and actually had to defend him going back in the day when he was at Tennessee. I was like, guys, he's a pretty good coach. Yeah, but he's goofy and he says stuff. And I was like, I don't care about that. I don't go to booster meetings, Tennessee booster meetings at least. No, that's not true. I've hosted them. Big Orange Caravan. Wow. What a fun event. They do it right because they would bring back in the day, they'd bring Summit. That's disrespectful. They bring, no, I'm treating her just like a dude. Aren't we supposed to, isn't that equality? Yeah. They'd bring Summit, Dooley, Martin, whoever, Bruce Pearl. So I have hosted those, but I don't care about booster events. I don't care about what you say, whatever. I care about how you coach on Saturday, develop the kids, program, et cetera. That's Lane Kiffin. At Tennessee, I thought he was a pretty good coach, but he was some of the other things, and that's why he didn't stay the Tennessee coach very long, by his own choice. But he's a different guy now. And here's the funny thing, and I've always insisted this. I've talked about this on the show. I don't think outside the camera or the microphone, I don't think that he was anything like he was in front of fans, recruits, et cetera. So he's just playing different roles at different times. And like I said, I always liked him as a coach. I really like him now because he has more offensive talent to work with at Ole Miss than at any point outside of his tenure at USC. And if you think about USC, remember, Pete Carroll realized Posse's on the way. I got to get gone. And so Lane Kiffin, who I, through none of his own doing, I can't say that. Do you remember who the co-offensive coordinators were? You talk about wanting to be in that meeting room. If you have co-offensive coordinators in the Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin, and the head coach is Pete Carroll, Ed Ogeron was on that staff too, wasn't he? Give me to be a fly on the wall. Would have loved it. They probably let Clancy be in charge of the defense. But that was Lane Kiffin, so I can't say. It was none of his own doing, the probation. I have no idea who was at fault. I know Reggie Bush's parents got a house. So Lane had, other than that stretch at USC, not when he was an assistant coach. I'm saying when he was a head coach. Remember, he got to USC. He got the limited scholarship version at USC. He got, was it 30 scholarships in 3 seasons? My gosh. How do you cover kicks? That's where it shows up. Your starters are going to be fine. It's finding people to run 65-yard sprints in the fourth quarter when their tongue's already dragging the ground, because you've got, including injuries and dismissals and transfers and whatever else, it's 30 scholarships. I don't know. Were you playing with like 56 players? Maybe. And this past year, didn't we say you had to add a minimum of 53? So Lane's playing. It was a really tough scenario after Carroll left USC, but I've always thought he was a good coach, and he has as much last year, as much offensive talent and diverse. My gosh, the running backs were different. The wide receivers were different. There was a really, really fun tight end. You even had two quarterbacks who were different, even though John Rhys Plumlee was mostly an observer. So, I love me some Lane Kiffin. Got no issue with him. Dan, how are you today?
Oh, man, I'm awesome. And by the way, too, I believe, were you talking about the 2005 coaching staff that USC had? Because all throughout that time, too, remember, Norm Chow was the offensive genius there. But then 05 is when Lane Kiffin took over as the offensive coordinator, receivers coach, also recruiting coordinator at SC at the time. And then Steve Sarkisian, assistant head coach, and then quarterbacks coach. So the tree growing there in South Central Los Angeles and starting to branch out.
Yeah, you probably got off of that staff, you probably have five active head coaches either in the NFL or college right now.
Well, also, too, I mean, NFL defensive coordinators, too, because Ken Norton Jr. was on that staff. So, I mean, just impressive coaches, to say the least, on that USC coaching staff that season and throughout Pete Carroll's tenure.
People forget about Norm Chow a lot, and it didn't go well. Because remember, he goes to the league. Was it the Titans?
Titans, I believe,
and
yes.
It did not work out. But if you go way back, I mean, a lot of success. NC State, a lot of that was him.
Hawaii.
Just an unbelievable offensive mind. And then, but we always gauge you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, well, you failed at the end.
Well, I mean, that's what we do. I mean, in terms of, like, remembering the guys who were just absolutely dominant players in college, and then they go to the pros, and it was, oh, yeah, what'd they do? So then it seems to seep into what their college career was, which is not right. You know, the funny thing is we've talked about this on the show numerous times, and it is a constant topic of conversation this time of year surrounding the Georgia football program, and it's ramping up even more now that Georgia fans, I think, are probably doing the deep dive into the stat books and trying to see, how do you replace the catches to George Pickens? And it can be done. And one way that you can do that, and Georgia fans might glaze over me saying this, the tight end can get involved more. Because I want to do a little bit of a deeper dive here, Chuck, in terms of the tight end. I think you've brought this up before, is Kyle Pitts. He's a first-round draft pick. He's a freak. He is not the normal tight end that you have. He's more of a wide receiver, you would probably say. He pulled in about five catches a game last season for Florida. That is going to be a top-10 draft pick this coming draft, pulling in five catches a game. Let's go into the 2019 season when Thaddeus Moss was part of that absolute monster that was that LSU offense. Chuck, he pulled in about three catches a game during that year. So the question I then have for Todd Monken and the UGA offensive staff is, can you not get Darnell Washington or even James or John Fitzpatrick, for that matter, three catches a game? Are you really going to try to tell me that Darnell Washington is not better than Thaddeus Moss right now? He's not as good as Kyle Pitts. No one is. But still, is it really that much to ask for those guys to maybe even split three catches a game? Chuck, one of those, in terms of it just being a throw, is a pass rusher coming for the quarterback. They got to dump it off somewhere. That's just a throw.
Good stuff as always, Dan. Wraps up hour one of the Chuck Oliver Show. Quick break. Back with hour two next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.